I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast on a Friday for Friday Brunch, here to discuss another big game for Forest away at Tottenham at the weekend. A Sunday evening game after all of the train strikes, and then not train strikes now, but it's staying on a Sunday evening as the Reds, who aim really to transfer that brilliant win over Fulham into this one on a Sunday night as London calls. And someone else that joins us bright and early, not so bright and early for me, the sun's shining, it's about lunchtime, I'm wide awake right now, but someone that isn't is Mark Turner at Forest Fan and regulars of the podcast, who is although joining us all the way from America, where it's about, is it six in the morning, Mark? Just got out of bed, haven't you?
Quite literally, mate. Quite literally. Yeah, it is. It's bright and early, but delighted to be. I was actually gutted to miss you on the last episode. I know you reached out to me and I thought, oh my gosh, the opportunity to finally talk about a Forest victory. Yeah. And I'm not available. So, no, very excited to be with you today.
Good. Well, at least we'll be talking about something positive, and hopefully that transfers into the game. You replaced Dave today, actually, because Dave normally does Friday brunch with us. So who better than to replace him? I've heard Dave's agent's fees are getting quite big, hence why you had to step in last minute, Mark, because we know you don't charge too much.
Absolutely. just the one cream egg. I know Dave's for a full bag of mini eggs. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's worth it.
Do you know what? Me and Dave normally have a conversation about what we've had for lunch, given that we always do this Friday show at about lunchtime. So what have you had for breakfast? Or have you not even had breakfast yet, Mark?
Literally, mate. This cup of coffee right here, this is all I've been able to consume so far. So yeah, we've got breakfast to look forward to still.
Good. Well, fingers crossed I won't keep you long, and we can talk about Forest and good stuff, and then you can go and have some breakfast and I'll let you go back to bed or something. Let's start with kind of how we're feeling at the minute then on a Friday. It feels nice to be talking after a Forest win. Just how big was that win on Tuesday, Mark, and how are you feeling about it all at the minute?
I'm feeling strangely optimistic, I suppose. Obviously, I've been a little bit of a downer for the last few weeks. So I think with good cause in regards to not only the results that Forest have accumulated, but how they've been playing. And we've talked ad nauseum about how this team doesn't look like a team, how there's no cohesion. And I was made to eat my words and then some, and did so very gleefully on Tuesday, particularly in that first half, where the real Nottingham Forest rocked up. So can we duplicate that again on Sunday? I would hope so. I mean, it's going to be challenging away from the City Ground. It sounded like you guys made an incredible din on Tuesday night. It must have been amazing to be there.
Yeah, the noise, the noise was incredible. It felt like last season, and for so long there's been this kind of call out for the fans to bring the noise. I mean, I think the fans have still brought the noise to a decent level, comparing it to some Premier League clubs. finally the players brought the performance and Forrest got a win, which of course helps. And yeah, just the atmosphere. And it was the old man's birthday and he was buzzing. I kind of looked across to him when it was about 5 minutes to go till the end and everyone's on their kind of feet singing Forrester Magic on and off the pitch with the scarves in the air. And I thought that's surely the best birthday present that could have given him, really.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. So yeah, hopefully more of the same on Sunday. I was taking a look at the last time the two teams met, which of course was back in December when Steve Cooper was still at the helm. And I rewatched highlights from the game as well, just to refresh my memory. I think, Max, wasn't that the game where Brennan Johnson got injured in the warm-up?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So he never got to make his return to the City Ground with his new team, at least. But I remember it being a fairly even game. I mean, in the end, Tottenham won 2-0, and I think they were probably good for it at the end. But when I look at the starting lineup of the 11 that started that day, Max, I'm seeing only maybe five that might start on Sunday. Murillo, Nico Williams, Yates, Alanga, and Gibbs-White. I don't see anyone else from that starting 11 who's either fit to start or is being picked to start right now. So it'll be really interesting to see how different Forest look. We did score that day. Alanga had a goal disallowed, you might remember.
Yeah.
But also, you might remember, Turner had one of his trademark clangers, Lane Kulusevski in Turner got an assist, might be a nicer way to phrase that.
Yeah.
After you put the ball at Kulusevski's feet and say, go on, have a go.
Did a classic.
It'd be interesting to see how Sunday looks.
Just did a classic Forest thing and gave a team an easy goal when no one ever seems to do that for us, really.
Right.
Or not very often, really. It's an interesting one, actually. And you mentioned there the players and you know, only Nico and Murillo, just to name a few, that will most likely start compared to that team. And that has been the problem, hasn't it, this season, Mark, that Forest just haven't had that consistency and we've lacked it. But you'd hope now with a win, almost him keeping the same team in terms of Nuno, you'd think that there'd start to be a little bit more consistency. And even if this is a game that Forest lose, but if you're playing the same 11, if you've still got that momentum, you're almost creating consistency there, which we vitally need going into the next seven cup finals, as people constantly talk about.
Yeah, you make a great point. And I think it's something we've skated over a little bit in that Forest's first year back in the Premier League, we had a relatively, at the beginning, we didn't have a settled squad, obviously, because we had 25, 26, whatever it was, new bodies showing up at the City Ground. And so it took Steve Cooper a little while to work out the mishmash that he had been given. But once he did and things really settled down, that's where Forrest started to hit their rhythm. And there's definitely a correlation there. This season, I think due to injuries and, again, an influx of new players, things just seemed unsettled from the start. Forest didn't get off to too horrible of a start, but then once the wheels came off, they came off in spectacular fashion, of course, costing Cooper his job ultimately. I think we are starting to see a little bit more of a settled side now, Max. There are still a couple of moving parts. I thought it was interesting that Gio Reyna didn't start on Tuesday after, you know, his encouraging cameo in the previous game. So Nuno obviously is still tweaking a few things there. But I think one thing that we are happy to see, Max, in terms of things being settled in a Forest side, are Callum Hudson-Odoi at one side and Anthony Alanga out the other.
It would help if I didn't put myself on mute there, wouldn't it? It's a good start.
It's going to make it difficult for us to have to do
it. Yeah, it will. I was going to say, yeah. It'd be interesting. I'll just let you do it, Mark, to be fair. Maybe I'm the half asleep one and not you. You're right about Anthony Alanga and Hudson-Odoi, especially on either side. Not such the link-up play, but the consistency of having those two there, the chances and the goals that they're creating. Alanga's had a bit of a quiet game, but saying that still contributes lots. The pace he brings. The same with Hudson-Odoi. We kind of gave a stat the other podcast, and I'm trying to remember it now off the top of my head. And I think it was he had something like 70 appearances for Chelsea and scored 4 goals. He's had 22 for Forest and he scored 5 goals.
Right.
That kind of sums up the impact that Forest have had on him. And Max actually talked about on the last podcast that this was the right career move for him after him having injuries and Hudson-Odoi coming into form. And you just hope that's still your bedtime alarm, isn't it? You couldn't have done that better. You busted, yeah. In case you overslept for the podcast, eh? But when you kind of look at particularly Hudson-Odoi and Elanga, those two players just become so important for Forest and didn't actually cost them. They were almost on the cheap. Anthony being around 15 million and Callum Hudson-Odoi being around the 3 to 5 million mark, that's kind of not known. It's a bit undisclosed. But for those two, to say that they're under the kind of 25 million mark in modern day football, to get two players like that, it's a steal when you look back at it, really.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you use that phrase, modern day football, the game has changed so dramatically in the last 15, 20 years. I think one of the things that has shifted is the importance of your wide players. You know, it used to be when I used to play in school, all the good players, right, were picked for the spine of the team, right? Your centre-backs, your central midfielders, your striker, obviously. And anyone who could barely, you know, didn't have a first touch was stuck out wide where they could do the least amount of damage. In modern football, that seems to have flipped on its head a little bit. Of course, you still want quality through the centre of the park. But if you look at those players who really performed this season, and the areas of the field in which they've done so. And I don't just mean at Forest. I mean, you look across the Premier League, you look at people like Cole Palmer, you know, look at Phil Foden, who arguably is better in the middle than he is out wide, but has played most of his minutes for City this season out wide. You know, you look at Sonny and Brennan Johnson, right, at Spurs, the team we're facing up to on Sunday. And of course, at the City Ground as well, in Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga. And then you also go back into the fullback positions as well. And we know the importance of the overlapping fullbacks or the inverted fullbacks, or, you know, every week it seems to change, right? A different type of fullback. I think Pep Guardiola is creating the new fullback as we speak. We're going to see that new version this next year. Be fascinating to see what he comes up with next. But my point is, having quality out wide and giving opposition teams something to think about in those areas has become increasingly important. So the fact that Forest have those options, we know Morgan Gibbs-White can slide out there as well. Gio Reyna can certainly do a job out there as well. So Forest do have options there. They do have things to give opposition managers and teams something to think about. So, and I think that's going to be important on Sunday, Max. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Tottenham do out wide. Right now, they're struggling offensively. Sonny's off the boil a little bit. Brennan Johnson actually does seem to be the one player who's in form on that front line. Kulusevski, again, also seems a little off the boil. Richarlison, likewise. So it's going to be really interesting to see what those teams do on the flanks. But I suspect that Callum Hudson-Odoi and Elanga are going to have a big say in Sunday's game. And again, I think the fullbacks will too. I think particularly Nico Williams, who's had a great...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Season so far.
Quite a few comments coming into us on Facebook and YouTube as we are live. This one, 3 points this Sunday and the beach towels are in the washer.
What was that?
Yeah. I don't know, though. It's Forest. This one from Stephen. Afternoon all. Mark says, hi, how's it going? Keep watching, everyone. Quite a few of us in. So, and be sure to get your comments to me and Mark. I was going to say try and keep Mark awake, but probably try and keep me awake too at times. Not that Mark puts me to sleep, just that...
Good grief.
Ready for the weekend. You kind of mentioned actually there about the wide players, Mark. That's an area that Forest will surely look to exploit and use tomorrow, not tomorrow, Sunday, because, you know, a team like Tottenham at home will be kind of all guns blazing. They need a win. They're going to be pushing. Forest can launch a nice little counter-attack, and you've got Hudson-Odoi and Elanga on both wings and the fullbacks, as you mentioned, and there you go. That's where Forest will create most of their chances, surely, from.
Yeah, and Forest, I think the thing that's going to be key on Sunday, Max, is that Forest come out of the traps hot, right? I think the one thing we saw on Sunday, which has been really uncommon this year, and you've seen this with your own eyes at the City Ground, is the plodding fashion in which Forest have started most games, right? They've been on their heels. They've allowed the opposition to really grasp the nettle. And then Forest have spent most of the second half trying to fight their way back into the match and get something out of it. That was completely reversed on Tuesday. I won't say reversed because I thought our second half performance was decent as well. But Forest came out of the traps hot on Tuesday, and they're going to need to do the same against Tottenham. Despite the fact that Tottenham are going through a sticky patch right now, despite the fact that their forwards, their offensive line aren't really delivering, or haven't been delivering for the last few games, the one thing that Tottenham are going to have, of course, is that home crowd. And you're dealing here with a team that's very athletic. So if you're going to try and release Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga down the wings, their pace is going to be important. But their willingness to run, their willingness to stretch the Tottenham defence, their willingness to peel off and get in behind them so that players like Morgan Gibbs-White can ping those balls through spaces and stretch that defence is going to be really, really important. This Tottenham team can run all day. And we know that under Ange Postecoglou, they are very offensively minded and will go to the final minute as well. So Forest energy is going to need to be high, and it's going to need to be high from that first whistle.
Yeah, it sure is. Chris says here, quite fancy that high line that Spurs
play. I agree,
very
exactly.
Good point. Yeah. They do play that high line, and that's an area that Forest will, kind of, I'm sure, look to exploit. And Nuno will be telling the players about this weekend ahead of the game. It's funny because you look at the way Forest are at the minute, Mark, and you almost look at the next seven games in terms of running, and everyone kind of writes the Tottenham and the City game off instantly. But it would be classic Forest, wouldn't it, to try, you know, to almost go and get a point or even better and get 3 points, cause a big upset at Tottenham on a Sunday evening, and then next week we play Wolves at home and it's not so good and it's a bit different. But this is where, for the next seven games, almost no matter who Forest play, there's no easy game in football. It's talked about a lot, but there isn't really. Forest have to be almost targeting all the games as, you know, trying to go out there and win, and anything less isn't great. But against teams like Tottenham and City, if you get a point, still great results.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this may sound like a bit of a nonsense statement, Max, but the last time I was on, I talked about how important momentum is in football, both within a game and from game to game. I would be quite happy to see Forest win the next four and then lose the remaining games, because I think that would be enough to keep us up. And I think that momentum, that consistency, that ability to take points game after game after game is going to be the thing that carries Forest over the line. I think you're absolutely right. If we look at these games like, you know what, I don't think we can win that one. Oh, yeah, oh, that's a banker. Then I think we're setting ourselves up there for a fall. That being said, I know I'm being a little hypocritical here in that I've joked that, you know, it's whatever it is now, seven cup finals plus the City game. I'm discounting that game, but I don't think you can. I don't think you can discount any game. And as challenging as this Sunday's game looks on paper, as the legendary Brian Clough used to say, games aren't played on paper, they're played on grass. And I think the way Forest are playing right now and the way that we've demonstrated, and I say right now in the last game, the way we demonstrated that we can come together, that we can play as a team, I think we should go into Sunday's game bullish.
Yeah, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but when you look at Fulham and a side that has been lingering around eighth, ninth in the Premier League, right, had some good results against Liverpool, had some good results against Man United, and Forest played them off the park, particularly in that first half. They're really
good. Can I just say as well how awesome it is? Like, we never get this, right, as a fan base, to see the opposing team's coach, who, by the way, because obviously I was watching it on TV, looked like he was on the brink of crying the entire game. He looked so incredibly depressed. How awesome it is for the Forest fan base to see an opposing team's coach make three substitutions 30 minutes in, yeah, in response to the fact that we're annihilating them. That was that might be my highlight of the season.
Yeah, it's probably one of mine, actually. In fact, Max said on the last podcast, it was like watching prime Barcelona at stages in the first half.
You went a little over the top there.
But. Yeah, yeah. I thought that too. But, you know, we'll let him have his moment, bless.
We love you, Max.
Yes. Mark says here, should play the same side that played Tuesday, especially at home for the remainder of the season. Shows a more attacking side than two defensive midfielders, home and away. We played the best I've seen at home first half in years. I totally agree. I think it was the best in a long time, possibly the best in the whole time that Forest have been in the Premier League. So for you then, Mark, for this game, surely got to be the same team. Would you be looking at making any changes? You look at a player like Chris Ward, 2-2, possibly 3-3 now for him. He's in the top record at the minute in terms of comparing with other strikers in the Premier League at being up there in terms of goals and actually shots created. Play him on the high line, keep the same team consistency, surely?
Well, let me circle back to the team selection here in just a second and hone in for a moment on Chris Wood. I'm glad you mentioned this, and this is a question I have for you, which is there's been some chatter online, you know, these last few days about Chris Wood and about the fact that if Taiwo Awoniyi, who I think general wisdom at the beginning of the season would suggest he's our number one striker, if Awoniyi were fit now, which of course he won't be for Sunday's game, we don't think, but if he were, would you still consider Chris Wood the starter and Awoniyi on the bench?
I'd play Chris Wood on Sunday, and I've been a player that I haven't been a player, thank God. I've been someone that's been highly critical of Chris Wood as a player, especially when he started. And I've actually exchanged a few conversations this week with Forest fans and people I know about that. And I didn't think he had a great start for Forest. I often wondered what he would bring, the same way I think about Divock Origi at the minute. But then he's in form. You know, Chris Wood's scoring goals, and that's what Forest need at the minute. We need, you know, how long have we talked about, Mark, someone for Forest? We've lacked someone for so long that can score goals. It's as simple as that leads the line and does that. Taiwo, of course, has been that player, particularly last season. This season, yes, at the start, but he's been injured. You know, he's out every other week at the minute. So for me, start Chris Wood, keep him there, keep the consistency. If Taiwo's fully fit in 2 or 3 weeks and he shows a little bit more in training and Chris Wood needs a rest, then you start Taiwo and have kind of Chris Wood as that super sub, really. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think I do. I like Chris Wood. I know he had a rough start, but I'm a Chris Wood fan. I have been for a while. But to be fair, the other thing I would say about him is I thought he was a little limited in what he could bring to the team. I thought he was a bit one-dimensional, and he's proved me to be an idiot. I mean, he has scored all of the goals this year, right? The slew, the variety. We thought he'd just be getting headers in off crosses, but... he's been fantastic. So I do agree. I think when Taiwo comes back, I think Chris Wood retains his place for me. And in terms then of the starting lineup for this Sunday, Max, yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't see the need to make any changes there in particular. One other player I am going to hone in on very quickly, though, and again, get your take on, is Ola Aina. Of course, the news came out this week that Forest activating an extension to his loan, right? By an additional season. Okay. What are your thoughts on that, given that we have 632 players on the squad? Is he one you want to keep around? Are you excited by that?
I think so. Yeah, I think again, he offers a little bit something different to Forest, the pace he brings. We just talked about it then about having the wide players and the overlapping fullbacks and players in a way that can change the game, because the Premier League is so hard. You've got to compete against so many different teams. Often, you know, managers can get found out for setting up their teams too predictable. We've seen that with Forrest in the case, particularly Cooper towards the end of his tenure or maybe at the start of last season too. So for Forrest, I think you need players that are different and you bring something that's different. And his pace as well. Yeah. Sarah actually compared him on the last podcast. I know kind of Tavares gets a little bit of criticism and not scapegoated in a way, but kind of fans are unsure about him. But before he got injured, Tavares, he was coming good. He had flashes of brilliance. He had kind of on the ball in terms of pace. And I think that's what Ola Aina can bring, is that pace down the flanks when Forest are counter-attacking. So for me, it's a good option. Like you said, though, Mark, so many players in the squad. I think what we'll see, and it, you know, this all depends on whether Forest stay in the Premier League, but we're going to see a completely different, almost, setup in the summer. We're going to see a different line of recruitment. I think we're going to see a different kind of selection process in terms of what squad Nuno, or if it's a different manager in the summer, once. And it's going to be a long rebuild period. I think for the time being, though, I think I can imagine everyone at the football club is just focusing on survival. And not, although you never know, Marinakis is probably out trying to sign like a wonder kid or something. He can't stop. He's like a kid at Christmas.
I know, absolutely. No, I think your observations regarding Tavares are on point. And the one issue I have with Tavares is no doubt he's got an abundance of pace. There's no doubt he brings something to the team, both defensively and offensively. Although I don't know that he's necessarily as strong as Aina in the defensive category. I just find Tavares to be a little bit selfish. He's single-minded to a fault, particularly, you know, when he's attacking. I think Aina's more of a, I think he provides more of a natural balance to Nico Williams at the other side. You know, I think gone are the days of having one really strong fullback either side of the field and then the rest is, you know, filler. I think you need to have four really strong fullbacks to provide you with that rotation, given how much fullbacks are being asked to do, again, in modern day football. So I think having Nico Williams, having Ola Aina, Harry Toffolo, one other, potentially two others, because I think there's still some question around whether Toffolo is truly a Premier League fullback. You know, when he plays well, he plays very, very well. And when he doesn't, he can get a little exposed. But either way, I think you need to have depth in those positions. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Aina sign up for another year.
And I think the comments are very much like that as well. John says Aina is very skillful as well.
That's a good point.
More like a midfielder than a forward. Yeah. That's an interesting point, actually. Yeah, Mark says Aina v Johnson, pace to burn. Very interesting matchup, which brings me nicely on to my next point. So thanks, Mark. How to break up a podcast.
Mark's great. Mark's are just great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mark's and Max's. They seem to be the best when it comes to podcasts.
The two M's. let's look at Brennan Johnson. You mentioned, obviously, he didn't play in the reverse fixture, but he will return, albeit he's at Tottenham and the Forest fans travel away from home. But that adds something to the game, doesn't it, do you think? Former player, academy graduate, someone that's, you know, provided Forest with so much. You know, I don't think you can underestimate how much Brennan's done for the football club, especially in the promotion winning season. But that does add a little bit of kind of fire factor in a way, do you think, to the game? Or is it just, you know, Brennan's great and one of our own, but the game takes almost control of itself and you kind of ignore the, not the noise as such, but maybe that almost overhyped media talk about Brennan's return.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what lens you're looking at that, Max. If you're looking that through the lens of, are the team going to, you know, is it going to be a bit more tasty for the team and they're going to be up for it? They're going to be anxious to nullify Brennan Johnson. I don't think they're going to particularly care. I don't think they're going to give him any, you know, attention above that, above and beyond that, which they're going to assign to, you know, to Sonny or Kubilecki or anyone else that's playing, because with the exception of Ryan Yates, nobody else on that team anymore knows Brennan Johnson, right? Nobody played with him. And because he was, like you said, he wasn't in the return fixture or the prior fixture in December, very few have played against him. So as far as the players are concerned, it doesn't really add any additional spice. Of course it does for those in the terraces. And I just hope that fans are respectful to Brennan Johnson. Yes, he's wearing Tottenham colours now. And no, we don't want him to have a good game. We don't want to see him assist or score. But we do need to remember he is one of our own. He came through our academy and he was a huge part of why Forest were finally able to make it back to the promised land. So I hope you don't hear any, you know, any nonsense on Sunday. And again, this is personal perspective. I know you pay your money, you fan as you want to fan. And so if you feel inclined to boo Brennan Johnson or, you know, whatever, then you do you, I suppose. But I hope folks remember just how important a part of our recent history he has been. And I think it'd be great to see him play this game. You know, it was a bit of a bummer. Yeah, had to pull out through injury last minute in the prior match. So it'll certainly be interesting, as the other Mark said, to see him go toe-to-toe with Ola Aina. Be fascinating.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And an interesting comment here, actually, from Phil, which says, was at the Spurs game last Saturday and they were bang average before they brought Brennan on at half-time. Very sloppy at the back and in midfield. We can get some points from this game.
Why was Phil at the Spurs game?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe Phil lives in London and maybe he's a Forest fan. And maybe
let us know, Phil.
Yeah. Let's look, actually, just at the game in terms of the wider picture. And just how you think Forest will match up against them and almost the threats that Tottenham have. You've highlighted already key players, Mark. But realistically, do you think that Forest could get something on Sunday?
Yeah, so, you know, weeks ago when we were looking at the, whatever it was at that point, the 9 or 10 games we had left, and you asked me that horrible question about whether I thought Forest could stay up. And it just occurred to me that Forest scouts are now watching our podcast. Phil is a Forest scout, clearly. It's the only thing that makes sense. Wow, the heights we've risen to, Max. Anyway, where was I? Can Forest get something out of this game? Yet when I was looking at those remaining 9 or 10 games, I did not have Forest down as getting anything out of this match. After seeing their performance on Tuesday, certainly we're capable of it. So if you told me now you come away with a point, I'd snap your hand off. I absolutely would. Again, I talk about momentum. I think getting a point away from home in the Premier League, that's always a good thing. Do I think we could take all 3 points? Anything's possible in the Premier League, right? We've seen that throughout the season. We only have to look at the crazy Man United-Chelsea game last night, which was absolutely fantastic.
Unbelievable. Oh,
love that so much.
I was doing a pub quiz in Manchester with some mates. And
oh, no.
The game was kind of on in the background. And everyone was, you know, paying full attention to this quiz, and then it kind of got to the last 10 minutes of the game, and everyone kind of looked up at the screens, and I felt sorry for the quizmaster.
Well, that's the Premier League for you. So yeah, yeah. Can Forest get something out of this match? Yeah, I think they absolutely can. Again, I would snap your hand off for a point. I don't think 3 points is beyond us. I just think it's really important that we don't lose this game. It's not the end of the world. It's not a 6-pointer or a must win, but in the interests of momentum, and like I said, If we could win the next 4 or 5, or we could win 4 of the next 5 games, I don't care what happens for the remainder of the season. Let's get it done now, and let's get all the heart rates down a little bit for the remaining few games, especially for our more senior contingent like Dave. Hi, Dave. Let's make it easy on him for the last few. I'm going to get that. He's going to come back on me now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to come
back.
Yeah.
I've just set myself up there. But anyway, so yeah, to answer your question, I think we're absolutely capable of getting something from Sunday's match.
Yeah. Gonna say,
what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a point's doable for Forest, but I think any more realistically when you look at Tottenham under Postecoglou this season, I just can't see it. But and as you said, this is almost a bit of a free hit. Not such. I wouldn't compare it to a cup game where it doesn't really matter what happens, because if we get, you know, spanked 4-5-0, that would be a bit of a disaster, especially because it kills the momentum. You then question certain players' performances. But for Forest, if we lose this, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You've got a very much winnable game. I mean, it sets up then, I wouldn't call it a must win, but it's going to be a difficult game against Wolves the following week. But at the City Ground, you'd hope Wolves, similar side to Forest, found themselves near the relegation zone last season, haven't this season, but you'd hope that Forest match up against them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think Wolves, in terms of form, and in some respects, the way they play, are not too dissimilar to Fulham, actually. I think there are a lot of parallels that could be drawn there. And arguably, Wolves have had a better season than Tottenham. I know Tottenham, we've definitely seen an uptick in terms of the way they play football, being more attacking-minded after their last 3 managers essentially all had them parking the bus. It certainly isn't the Tottenham way, or not the Tottenham that I remember. And so definitely they've had a better season. But in terms of kind of overperformance, I think Wolves have actually been one of the standouts this year. So that game certainly isn't a given. But if you can turn over Fulham, you can turn over Wolves. I want to see us get at least a point from Tottenham in the meantime.
As you mentioned there, Mark, if Forest won't win the next 4 out of 5, I'm leaving the podcast. We'll finish it there, and we'll and I might come to America.
Beach towels, yep.
Yeah, exactly. I'm off on my holidays already. No, I've got to wait till the end of the podcast season, actually, sadly. I was going to say, Mark, it's just a shame you can't put me up in America or something. You know, we have like a Garibaldi Red almost pre-season tour.
Come on over.
Yeah,
on
we over. Could do like, well, yeah.
One thing we do have here is we have a Nottingham Forest North American supporters group. Mm. And so we're all pretty active. I mentioned the WhatsApp that happens every match day, but we chat in between match days as well. And we have little branches all over the place. You know, there's a big one in New York, unsurprisingly, and then kind of dotted all over, right? California, and I think there's one down in Florida, and there's one in Chicago, and all over. And then we have a Canadian branch all over the place.
Wow.
And then just about every year, depending on, you know, the variables, but just about every year, we try and have a meetup, and we find a city, we find a pub, we go watch a Forest game, for about 2 or 3 days, folks hang out, and it's all about Forest. And so, yeah, whenever that one comes around, Max, this next year, I'll have to give you the details and come on out and we'll do a recording live
from the Let's do it.
US of A.
Full expenses paid, hopefully, Mark. First class from Manchester. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, we're not recording this, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, I think that would do us nicely. Any final points before we go, Mark? Any shout outs or anything you kind of want to say?
I don't have the stats to hand. This is going to be a little clumsy. You probably do know these numbers off the top of your head, but I was astonished by the Daniel Taylor article in The Athletic, right? Where he talked about...
Brilliant article, by the way.
Yeah,
Go on. If Forest fans haven't read it, I'd highly recommend that you do. You can sign up to The Athletic. It isn't that much. And seriously, Danny Taylor, brilliant writer and great article from him. And just really interesting. And it's nice because it shows that you've got that Forest connection still, that Forest family feel that people talk about, really, Mark.
What was the article about, Max? Come on, you're taking the baton now.
No. It was more kind of about, wasn't it, kind of Forest's academy graduates and there not being a game where Forest haven't fielded at least one player that's homegrown. And he talks about the numbers and all
was
of
it
that.
Am I picking this number out of the air? Was it like 4,000 games or something ridiculous?
Yeah, I think it's around the 4,030 mark. The numbers have gone off the top of my head, but I will I'll have to go back and have a look. But it's well over the 4,000 mark, which is incredible.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's absolutely astonishing. And I think that's something that, you know, for a long time we've talked about that. We talked about, you know, the influence of our academy and, you know, we've seen some real high spots, haven't we, where we've had four or five academy players in and around the starting lineup. And then we have situations like we have presently where I think Ryan Yates is the only one. But the fact there's any presence at all, and that has been an unbroken presence for such a long period of time, is both something to be proud of, but it is also essential, I think, as well for like the lifeblood of our team, right? We're not a team with particularly deep pockets until very recently, but generally we're a team living on a shoestring. And I think this is, again, Max, that's one of the things that Forest fans draw enormous pride from when we look at our European Cup triumphs. The fact we won a European Cup is mind-blowing. The fact we won two back-to-back is, it's almost inconceivable. But then to do it with the team that we did it with, which, you know, arguably wasn't chock full of stars. I mean, if you think about the players that Claffey pulled in, and I know we're going off on a bit of a tangent here, so I'm going to wrap this up. But if you look at the players that Claffey brought in, very few of them were, you know, players that were big name players at the top of their game. You know, even Trevor Francis, when Claffey purchased him for £1 million, he was a player on the up. He wasn't a seasoned England international with, you know, 50 games under his belt at top flight level and 30 goals for his country. And so that kind of DNA, that way of building teams, it's always been a part of Forest. And when you can bolster that with players coming through your academy and have, you know, homegrowns, that's really, really key. So yeah, that was a fantastic article, and it really underscored one aspect that's been so important to our club and the success of our club over the last sort of 40, 50 years, despite being in the doldrums in the Championship.
Yeah, 100%. Well, fingers crossed that Forest can stay there this season and the seven cup finals remain, maybe if you exclude the City game, as we always talk about.
I just realised I'm wearing City colours here. That's unintentional. Sorry about that.
Right. Well, I was going to say, me living in Manchester, maybe I'm not one to talk. Appreciate your time today, Mark. Thank you. I will let you go. I think you've got a school run to do and then start the day, whereas I was going to say it's not near the end of the day here, but...
Yeah. Run the kids to school, another cup of coffee and some scrambled eggs on some homemade sourdough bread.
Nice. Well, we know what we're having for breakfast when we do the North America meetup, eh?
There you go.
And expenses paid for as well. Food paid for. This is getting better and better. Right, let's close it there. We'll be back on Monday for our main episode after Forest hopefully beats Tottenham. That would be nice, wouldn't it? As always, if you do enjoy the podcast, leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts because it really, really does help and helps us get us out there. You can also like and subscribe on YouTube and share it with everyone. Follow us on Twitter. Keep up to date with us. Garibaldi Red _. No more lie downs, fingers crossed. Forest, hopefully not conceding from a set piece. Chris Wood, 3-3. Let's hope so. Come on, you Reds. See you later.